Got to read a couple of these messages on WhatsApp because they kind of tie into each other. Person says the heart of the problems with the buses is poor maintenance. The buses should work, but the maintenance needs to be maintained at scheduled times. The transport board has fallen behind in maintenance. Electric buses are costly. If transport board has not gotten it right with combustible engines, which are cheaper to and less technical to maintain, do you think they'll be able to do a better job with more complicated electric engine systems? My response was, personally, I don't. If you give me a chainsaw, if you give me a hacksaw and I can't handle it, I don't think you should give me a chainsaw because, you know, I might either cut you up or cut me up or both of us. And the other one says, there's a problem with maintenance. The issues plaguing government with respect to maintenance programs extends beyond the public transportation system, the transport board and the road network. There's a lack of maintenance when it comes to property, facilities, and general infrastructure. And again, I agree. And the person says, it's as though bills and salaries are attended to and not many resources allocated to much else. And of course, this contributes to an environment where job satisfaction, motivation, and productivity yield to sick building syndrome, respiratory ailments, and the like. And I agree again, when you have to close this place because of fungus and move people to that place, that is productivity loss. And systems. Computer systems got to be done. You got to make sure your electrical supply, your backup. The movement from one office to the other once upon a time was pack up the files, put it in the back of a truck, and move it. Today it's not like that. We have to change the way we do business. And one of the things people highlight from time to time is that now when you're unemployed, you got to go one place and sign, then you got to travel halfway across to another place to unsign, and then travel back to sign back and all sorts of things. And they get confused. That can't be productive. But we prefer to argue about other things as we contemplate what to do with our ex come election day. And if I have a job sitting in this chair sometime in the future, who knows, I may hear saying this all over again at some point. Brass Tax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson. How are you?
I am fine.
Oh, terrific. You know, since you're the Columbus man, we can talk about Columbus a bit here. But first of all, since Mr. Glass, the whole pastor, you know, I don't bother with the nation anymore. For obvious reasons.
Okay.
I know, since he passed, but the best articles were his. Anyway, you're a Columbus man. And you said you've got the book,
My Heart at Wounded Knee.
Wounded Knee, right. Yeah, where they massacred 39 innocent people. But you now saw the book Black Indians, which is Spikestown Library, the introduction to it. You ever seen it?
No, sir, I have not.
Right, the introduction to it is called Black Indians, A Hidden Heritage by William Lawrence Scott. He's a world-renowned historian. It says it began with Columbus. This is how it reads. they actually had an extract from Columbus's diary. From a letter that he wrote back to Isabella in Spain. It said, from here we can get all the slaves we need we need in the name of the best Trinity. they put 1,100 Taino Arawak Indians on a ship, only a few hundred survived because of the harshness of the transatlantic cross and stuff like that, right? So Henry MacDonald Beckles, he said that when Columbus actually said he was working for the Roman Catholic Church with that Muslim. I really wish that Trump would ask that when people down here apply for visas, they take a DNA test so you can track them back to which Islamic tribe they came from originally.
Why would you want them to do that?
Why? Because I want something to put them in place. Because, you know, they say, well, it's Christian, but then the Christians wouldn't know that it comes from Islamic tribes they're hiding within sleeper cells, man.
I have a good deal answer. From time immemorial, people have used religion to cloak whatever else they want to do. And for years, rather than question the use of religion for these things, people have questioned religion and spiritual principles without understanding that there is a difference. That's all I'll say. Brass Tax, good afternoon. 4341790, Brass Tax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
I just want to make a few points.
No problem, sir.
Particularly one dealing with the buses. I feel that, or I wonder, I should say, because I don't know what's going on with the arrangement and transport board, but I hope that they take the bus drivers when they're going to purchase buses so that they get a feedback from the drivers. And not go in and bring them and put them in their hand and tell them to do so and so and so and so. Let them go and feel for themselves what they will have to drive.
Yep, I agree. Not only that, sir. I also believe that when the buses come here and have actually been put into operation, that some of the people from wherever they bought the buses or some of the people trained in their maintenance don't come with their briefcase and their identification marks, just getting the bus and travel as a normal, you know, passenger. Commuter and see what happens while the bus is on the route.
Right.
How many times it stops, how it decelerates and how it corners and how the person who's handling it to determine whether you need a retraining process for your drivers or you need to have some type of intervention in how the bus is handling. That don't seem reasonable.
That's right.
Sometimes you may have a vehicle that works perfectly with you and you give somebody else to use and they come and ask you what's wrong with your car because
right.
they drive differently from the way you do. But
that's right.
Yep.
Well, the other point is I wonder why we never thought of approaching Israel for help with the South Coast problem.
Ah.
They are now the leading country in technology. They've surpassed the United States. And I feel that, given that in mind, we could have answered a question as to their help in solving the problem.
You know, sir, we had Israelis here helping us in the Ministry of Agriculture some years ago. So it's not that we did not have relations with them. So I don't know. Perhaps that's a good idea. I have no idea.
Right.
Yeah, makes sense. Perhaps they would be able to help. They knew how to make a desert into a productive area.
Right.
Yep. There were Israelis here, I know, working with the Ministry of Agriculture somewhere back in the 1980s, I think. I recall that. But I don't know if we've had them here since then.
Yeah.
Yep.
And my other point is, mm-hmm. I'm thinking when we talk about productivity, that should make a change in our focus and focus on the employee. Make the employee happy.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, it will redound to making the customer happy.
Happy. Mm-hmm.
Look after satisfying the needs of the workers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And I believe that will go a long way in helping productivity. If you have a happy staff,
they should produce.
To make the customers happy.
If agree with you.
Rental, they will not be given the service they want.
Sir, I am in total agreement with you. And I think when we hear of facilities being upgraded, people being moved, it should all be part and parcel of an attempt to make sure that your staff happy and productive and that they treat your customers in the same way. Gentleman said here to me, MTW, for example, short of testing officers for a long time, now government losing rail money because many people know they can't pass a driver's test and can't get a date until October or November. So there are areas like that where revenue as well is being lost because of people being moved from one area to the other because of either A, poor working environments, or B, a shortage of persons for various reasons, including people who are away because they're ill or they take early retirement or they're just fed up with the system. We have to take a whole look, sir, of how we maintain things. There's a building that's supposed to be renovated for example, people with disabilities on Kalamarok. I've looked at it. I've looked at where it is. It's on the corner where there's a road that you can access from around by National Insurance building. Now, if people are turning across the double lines on Column Rock to get into the place to buy bread, and if people are coming out of Sagicor's building and driving across the double lines and turning down to go Column Rock, lower Column Rock, because they don't want to go up to the traffic lights, because you can't U-turn on the traffic lights. When we put that building into operation, how are we going to stop people turning across, the trucks and them that turn across now anyhow? They used to drive through there to try to get over on the other side when traffic is congested at 3 o'clock when people start going to pick up their children from the convent. How are we going to stop people turning across the double lines? We can put Jersey barriers down the middle of Column Rock then? You see, we put these things up. We set these things in train. And we do not think, for example, about traffic flow and how it will or will not disrupt it. There was a lot of talk about Hyatt on Bay Street and, you know, whether it should or should not be there and whether they'll have a walkover to carry people on the overside to, you know, like they wanted to have a air bridge, whether they talk to the people in Nelson Street. And take a drive up Bay Street any afternoon that there are ships in the harbor and tourists in Barbados, and take a look at what happens between the boatyard and I would say the nightclub on Bay Street, or even go as far as the traffic lights before government headquarters. Tell me what you see. Taxis, tour buses, double parked, side by side, all up and down the road, and congestion. Now try to imagine Hyatt, high occupancy, and lots of tourists in Barbados, and tour buses coming from the airport, the seaport, to put people there. We make Bay Street a one-way street. This is down to brass tacks. How are you going to buy a water taxi? Bring people from Oyston's Fish Market to Hyatt and to the boatyard. After all, it's called the boatyard. Should be able to take a boat and bridge down to shop and carry them back up. Brass tacks, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am.
Good day to you.
To you too, ma'am.
Yeah. I am here listening concerning the buses and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And this thought came to me. We are... Do you think that we should learn from our mistakes?
We should, if we consider that it's a mistake, though.
That's a good answer.
But, ma'am, there are people who tell you that it was right. You know?
They're always right.
Yeah. That is not a mistake at all. Mm-hmm. So I suppose if they do that. Somebody here tell me build Hyatt and give people jobs, do. I say anything about not building Hyatt? No, go ahead, ma'am. It's all right. Go ahead. You were telling me.
Yeah.
If you think that what you're doing is a mistake, then you will try to find a way to fix it. If you don't think it's a mistake, you will say that I've been doing it so for years, and I gain through, so I can continue doing it so. That's what happens all the time. There are some people who can't be told that what they're doing, you know, there's another way to do it. They're comfortable doing what they do.
You know, a lot of times we live in denial because...
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, ma'am. Oh, yes.
Even if
yes. Yes, we do.
Nature is such. God has made us so wonderfully that... I'm a Christian. If we do something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Detrimental to our health.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? We don't get sick.
Yeah.
I'm going
and
to
if,
a lot.
And if what we try to do to fix it is the wrong thing, we can have another problem.
Right. But
because
you know,
fixing
God
the wrong thing.
God has also provided doctors and nurses and the herbs of the nation to heal us. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And most of the time we get sick, and we go to the doctor, we get better. Most mm-hmm. of the times, otherwise we die, and then we won't have a problem with sickness. But
true.
Most of us get better.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord showed me, I was going through a situation, and he said, you need to change what you're doing.
Right. You no, know? You see, no, this is it, okay? And that's why I made the comment about if you try to fix the wrong thing, you will end up with worse problems. I spoke to a doctor once in Miami, a guy by the name of Dr. Ortino, about somebody who went to him with a, there's a noise in the background, so we're going to take your volume down for a bit.
Okay.
The person was having a problem with asthma, and he said to the person, after doing a series of tests, everything I've tested you with, you're allergic to it. And my conclusion is that you're not allergic to these things. You're allergic to the preservatives and the additives and whatever they put into the processed meats and foods that you're eating. Perhaps if you ate natural foods, some of these allergies you have would go away. The person did not accept or understand what he was saying. And he said to them, look, I know you think I'm crazy, but I am a medical doctor. These are my certificates. But I've worked for many years with the Native Americans on the reservation. I worked with their medicine men because I wanted to find out why there were people who lived to 100, 102, had all their teeth, no cavities, and they never used Colgate or Pepsodent or Aquafresh or whatever the toothpaste. And why it is their children were falling down like flies. He said, and these people would bring their children to me, and I would write a prescription, and they would go to the pharmacy, and they would pick up the drugs, and they would go, and then they would see what it's made of, and turn around and go and pung herbs, and give it to the child, and sometimes the child would get better. So I wanted to find out what part of their medicine I could use with my medical degree so I could be able to span both worlds and understand why they had all their teeth at 102. Now, I could say that man talking bare foolishness. I could say that he's a quack. Or I could sit down and listen to what it is he was telling me and tell me that perhaps I'm allergic, or the person who was with me, because it wasn't me who went to him, although he is the one who told me about my smoking, because I used to smoke cigarettes back then and drink coffee too. But what he said made sense. But there are people who wouldn't listen because that's not what they expect to hear from a doctor in America.
Right.
They would expect to hear go and buy so-and-so from the pharmacy.
But I'm saying, that even in our everyday mistakes, our body tells us
something is wrong. Yep.
Something is wrong.
You have to know to read it.
You get pain.
Yeah, but ma'am,
Hold on.
But there's a difference between a headache if you hit your head against the wall and a headache if you have not eaten in 3 days.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of headache.
But
if you go and take a tablet for everyone,
right,
you ain't gonna know what kind of headache you got.
But the reason I started with that, is I see it as I read my Bible. Christ came out of the trials and the tribulation of the children of Israel. Some of them were holy, some of them were not, but the faithful ones pulled through, right? So I am not calling to condemn the person who buy buses or anything, but to learn from what has happened before when they go to buy other buses. And right now I am hearing some very good suggestions, sending the driver with the person who's going to buy, having that, as you said, the persons who are signing with the buses come over, see how it drives. And I hope that persons who are in charge of these things are listening. I hope that, because the situation has arisen over a period of years, and please don't go back and do the same thing and just buy buses. And my other point is, when they're buying buses, please buy buses with emergency windows on both sides. We always get buses with emergency windows to the side of the road, the traffic side. And not one is on the left. So if anything happens in the bus and you can't get to that roadside, or if anything happens on the roadside, you can't get out.
Ma'am.
Because they're computerized. And if the door cannot open, everybody in there.
Ma'am.
You get where I'm coming from?
Ma'am, you see why it is, right? They should listen to everybody, including the people who travel on the bus.
Yes.
I have a friend in Trinidad. Thanks, ma'am. I hope they listen to you too. I have a friend in Trinidad he's retired now, who used to fly planes. And he said to me, and that's where I got this statement from, he said, they need to send the people who fly on the planes as passenger to choose planes, right? And if you're buying bus, send the old lady that's bring all she bags and things on the bus. So she know the size of the bus seat, the size of the bottom, the distance she go. He was joking, but it is a serious comment. You see what you just said about where the emergency exits are and that kind of thing? Ma'am, I keep referring to a bus or buses that we built for schools in St. Vincent, built by Acme, just like the yellow minibuses we have in Barbados, slightly larger, with an emergency exit at the back of the bus because it was being used as a school bus in St. Vincent. Have you ever seen a yellow minibus in Barbados with an emergency exit at the back? But we built them and sent them to St. Vincent as school buses from Acme in Barbados. Now let that sink in. The bus doors are on the left, okay? Thank you, sir, for reminding me that they are. And the emergency window is on the side of the door, and the door is on the other side. They have emergency mechanisms, says two WhatsApp messages from people who I suppose know more than I do. My question is, why is it in, as we say, the big developed countries, the emergency exit on a bus is at the back, B-A-C-K. So if you fall on the left side or the right side, you open the back. Why? School buses in particular. I remember a gentleman calling here and telling me that what? The buses we have in Barbados, too long to go wrong with tight corners and the back kind of long. Grenada got roads smaller than Barbados. And they had yellow buses that they used as school buses in the United States with the behind as long as any behind I have ever seen hanging over the back wheels. And they used to travel around the roads in Grenada. That's smaller than the roads here. And they never hit nobody yet. So Grenada got better bus drivers than Barbados? Give me a break. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I'm told that Warren's roundabout, almost impassable going from UWI to Redmond. Plenty of water, raining really heavily, and visibility is poor. That's from Erskine, who is usually out on the road. Okay, I'm locked in here. I have no idea what's going out on the road. You get the last word. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Yes, a very good afternoon. Dennis, how are you doing?
I am doing all right, and you?
Yeah, I am not too bad, thanks. That water taxi, you know, trouble, we're good at Warren's.
Well, it will be interesting that the parish of St. Thomas, that supposedly has an OC, is the first place in Barbados to get a water taxi. I will be making history.
But you also
I want to be
that.
A maker of history. I got to remember that.
You also got to remember that 2 days ago that they were trying a water taxi from Tobago, from Trinidad to Tobago.
And it broke down.
And it broke down. So you got to be careful with these water taxis.
No, it's all right. Let me tell you this, right? That's because you Englishmen came here and told me that I was primitive. I want you to know that my ancestors went from Guyana in the south to the Bahamas in the north in dugout canoes, and we made it.
Okay.
So when I need to go and fix them on the boat and come back, as I tell you all the time, put me on a surfboard and push me off a sandy lane. Anywhere south by southwest I end up. Once the sharks don't get me, I home. The problem we have, sir, is that we leave the Caribbean. We listen to experts, including the people who keep asking me if I for real. And then we bring boats that are supposed to work on the lakes in New York. There's, you know, freshwater lakes, and put them in salt water and expect them to work. We don't know what corrosion is. And then we do not maintain. You're a man that's built. You know about maintenance. If you take green wood and wood that got termites in it, what do you think happened? So how come you have wood that you just put in water and make docks out of it? And the concrete dock break down, and the wooden dock still stand up. You want to explain that to them? Because I know you're a builder, so you must know about using wood. And you're a man, so you must know about building too.
But it's
go ahead.
A couple of minutes now, I want to know using transport. I've been here, and I've been listening. And I've been here all sorts of these buses. If you start wrong, Dennis, you get in wrong.
Agreed.
In most instances.
Agreed.
No, I want to bring a parallel now. The Barbados Fire Service has some trucks called Scania, right? Do you see them? Do you see them anywhere about the place breaking down?
You ever see a fire truck break down anywhere?
All right, one. That's one. Two.
Oh, good. Any?
No.
No matter what they mark on them, whether they're yellow or red.
You're talking about maintenance. I'll go through this a little fast. It's all about maintenance. right?
Or for that matter, army trucks.
I don't agree with maintenance. What I agree is that there's maintenance, but it's poorly managed. Because if you look at it, you carry a whole set of money. What was that for? Building a building?
I don't know, sir. What it was for?
Huh?
What was it for?
Well, I figure it was for maintenance.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
And for parts and what's not.
Mm-hmm. And who responsible? No. And who responsible for supplying the parts?
No, that was that's what I tell you. No.
And
no,
the parts coming through the dock, so they're being dropped by parachute.
We get into the meat of it. In 1991, 92, 93, somewhere there, you travel and you bought in a Mercedes bus called a Marco Polo.
The right? bus was not the Marco Polo, so the Marco Polo was the coach. Is the frame that was Marco Polo. You see, the reason why I'm pulling you up is this. You see, we malign things because of what written without knowing where it's written and why. Right? So that's why I'm pulling it from there. Fire trucks are not purchased under stricter protocol. They're delivered by an agency that knows what a fire truck is, and the specifications are specific, if I may sound redundant, to fire trucks, right? And airport fire trucks are different from those that they have in other places. And fire trucks they put where you have gas fires and gasoline fires are different as well. So there's a protocol, one. Two, Grenada, go back to Grenada as my parting shot. Had trucks that they brought in during the revolution, that when we left Grenada after the intervention, they came to Barbados and they went other places. They're still working. Explain why. We like to point our fingers and say all kinds of things and then ask me if I loco. I ain't loco. I just lateral and stupid. Anyway, I'll be missing. I'll be gone. And I'll be back if and when I'm back. So behave yourselves and continue to enjoy the program. Tomorrow is Good Friday. I am scheduled to work from noon until 3. It's a solemn occasion, and I will treat the occasion in the manner in which it should be observed. And until or whenever, on behalf of Graham Vaughan and our team here, have a peaceful, blessed Easter. Shalom.